All right, if you'll take open your Bibles to Proverbs 16, verses 18 through 20 is what we're going to be looking at in just a minute. But if you'll take out your Bibles and turn to that, those of you who are listening on the podcast, we'll be reading that scripture in just a minute, and you'll hear it loud and clear. If you're somewhere where you can get a Bible, then get one and follow along. But we'll be looking at Proverbs chapter 16. We are continuing with our series, Going Sane in a Crazy World. Going Sane in a Crazy World, because what we are discovering as we have done this study in Proverbs is that God asks us to live a godly life, and it doesn't always go along with the way the world wants us to live our lives. In fact, we find out that if we are truly trying to live a godly life according to the principles of Scripture, that we are often deemed as crazy. For example, the Bible says things like, forgive those who wrong you, or turn the other cheek, or give away everything that you have if you want to be rich, or love your enemies as yourself. I mean, that's crazy. The world would look at us and say, no, that is totally insane. But I want you to know today that you are not going crazy. You are going sane in a crazy world. And that is that God is trying to help us turn the world back to right side up, because we and our sinful natures have turned the world upside down. We have taken what the principles that God has designed for us to live by, and we've turned them upside down. We've become self-centered, and the world thinks that the biblical principles are crazy. In fact, the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. We know that God doesn't do things the way that the world does things. So we're deemed as crazy, but we're not going crazy, we're going sane. And that's our purpose in studying the Proverbs. And last week we talked a little bit about that. And then what we want to talk about this week is, first of all, in a review, why study the Proverbs? We looked at Proverbs chapter 1 and the first few verses of that. And number one, we're studying the Proverbs so that we can attain wisdom. Attain wisdom. And I'm not talking about worldly wisdom now, but godly wisdom. We learned out of James chapter 3 that the worldly wisdom is the wisdom that you might find in a fortune cookie, or wisdom out of a how-to book, or wisdom that is self-centered and self-absorbed. Wisdom of the world is something that helps us achieve our selfish ambitions, things that help us become better people, but not to be better in community. And that is the wisdom of God. Godly wisdom is not only learning and living, but it's loving, and that all that adds up to what wisdom is. It's living by the godly principles in life, living our lives in a life that's not self-absorbed or self-centered, but that's selfless. So attaining wisdom, that's the number one reason. Basically, we had four. Number one was attaining wisdom. Number two, understanding words of insight. In other words, studying the Proverbs is going to help us to see things as God sees them. We know already that His thoughts are not our thoughts and His ways are not our ways. And so what we're going to find is that studying this scripture helps us understand more about what the way God sees things. Number three was acquiring discipline. In other words, not only do we learn about these things, not only do we begin to see things the way God sees them, but we're able to adjust our lives to live accordingly. Adjusting our lives to live accordingly. And that means acquiring the discipline that it needs to do that. And then also, finally, number four was that when we want to study it so that it helps us to learn how to become better teachers, sharing it with others to become teachers of the wisdom that we learn. Now, before we can get specific and have the behaviors and do the things that the Proverbs instruct us to do, it all starts with attitude. And that's what we're going to look at today in Proverbs chapter 16. And so as we start that, I want to talk about the importance of attitude. It all starts here. A bad attitude, isn't it true? A bad attitude can ruin the best of acts. Now, whether that's a touchdown on a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday morning message, an attitude can make all the difference in the world. You've been watching a game, and there's this great play at the end of the game in the final minutes, and there goes the receiver down the field, and the pass is launched, and all of a sudden he makes a spectacular catch, dances into the end zone, and in the final minutes of the game is won. The crowd stands and cheers. You feel good. You're standing up. You're cheering. And then comes the dance. The player begins his dance, and he's pointing at himself, and he's talking about how wonderful it is, and he's doing a little dance that just totally focuses on himself, and then you find yourself saying, oh, man, I wish he hadn't done that. Boy, that really spoiled it. You know, it was such a great thing and a great event and a great feat, but, boy, the fact that he just focused on himself just ruined it. The attitude changed how we valued the act, and that, I've seen that happen on a Sunday morning message or a sermon or heard it on a Bible study where a pastor will give a great message, and then the next thing you know, he's talking about himself or he's talking about how great that particular church is, and the next thing you know, you say, wow, that was such a great message, but boy, he really ruined it with that prideful attitude. I think we're going to find some of that described right here in Proverbs chapter 16. So let's read Proverbs chapter 16. I'm going to just read three verses, 18 through 20, and we're going to look at that right now. Proverbs 16, 18 through 20. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, during this time, as we review this scripture, as we listen to these words that have been written so long ago, Lord, breathe your breath of freshness into it. Lord, help it to touch our hearts and bless us and help our attitudes to be more in sync with where you would have us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this scripture basically talks about two things. The foundation of a bad attitude is the first thing. And the foundation of a bad attitude, according to this scripture, is pride. And so what I've done is I've developed an acrostic right out of the Proverbs that describes what pride is. And so we're going to take P-R-I-D-E and just look at it real quickly and say that this is the foundation of a bad attitude. In fact, in the scriptures, every sin, every bad thing, everything that was a rebellion against the Lord, every bad thing can all be boiled down to one word in the scripture when it comes to sin, when it comes to things against God, and that is pride. It's all boiled down to that, whether it was the Garden of Eden where man decided that he knew what was best for him, and took and rebelled and did what he wanted to do as opposed to what God wanted to do. And that's the story of history, and it's the story of even today. So, the foundation of a bad attitude is pride. First of all, let's talk about what pride is. Pride, P, the P for pride, we're going to say produces disgrace. In Proverbs 11:2, that says this, in Proverbs 11:2, it says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Pride produces disgrace, and that's something. It takes the person down. It makes a person, instead of becoming somebody that is pleasing to the Lord, they become somebody who is ashamed. Pride actually produces shame. So the P produces disgrace. R is that pride relies on itself. We learn from James chapter 3, verse 13, that pride is self-centered. It's something that is only focused on your own selfish ambitions. In Proverbs 13, verse 7, this is what Proverbs 13, verse 7 says about pride in that way. It says, one man pretends to be rich but has nothing. Another man pretends to be poor but has great wealth. See, somebody, a person with pride, relies on themselves. It's self-centered. The I for pride is it instigates dissension. Instigates dissension. When somebody is prideful, after all, if I'm the only one that knows, and if my way is the best, your way never measures up. And so it produces dissension. And in Proverbs 13, verse 10, it says that pride only breeds quarrels. but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Pride only breeds quarrels. We actually, after all, we fight about anything that goes against who we are. So P-R-I, and then D, it is detested by God. In Proverbs 8:13, it says that God hates or detests pride. In chapter 6 of Proverbs, it has a list of the seven things that God hates. Top of the list, haughty eyes, pride, self-centeredness. So it's detested by God. And then E, it ends in destruction. We just read that verse, that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. God, pride takes us down. It destroys things. It destroys communities. That's one of the reasons that in our society today, families are being are falling apart. Communities are being destroyed. Towns and cities and even states and our country itself is breaking down its basic the basic community that has always existed here, because pride destroys things. It causes dissension. It takes things downhill. And that's what we're finding today in our world. But so if that's the foundation of a bad attitude, pride, then what is the foundation of a wise attitude, the good attitude? What is that? And we find here in this scripture that is humility. Humility. And I want us to look at three things about humility that I think are important, that are mentioned right here in this scripture, and I want us to look at it together. So three things I want you to think about as we look at this in what we read in chapter 16. The first thing is that humility is transformational. Listen to that. It says, better to be lowly in spirit, I'm in verse 19, and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Character is what counts. It's what's on the inside that transforms what's on the outside. And that's what it gives us, a godly perspective. Humility gives you a godly perspective. It's remembering who you are and who God is, and that you are not God. Better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder among the proud. It means that it's not the circumstance, but it is the condition of the inside of us, the condition of our soul, that makes the difference, that gives us the peace, that gives us the joy, that gives us the success and victory in our life. Better are we to be oppressed, but to be humble. Humility transforms the way you see things. So number one, transformational. Now number two, it's teachable. It says in verse 20, whoever gives heed to instruction prospers. That means you're teachable. Not only is humility transformational, but it makes you teachable. Because after all, think about it, if you know everything, then nobody can teach you anything. Now, I know that nobody knows a teenager like this, but there are a few teenagers who know everything. And because they know everything, their teachers are all idiots. It's amazing how many idiots get jobs in Fairfax County teaching school, according to some of these teenagers, because they know everything and the teachers know nothing. And that is a characteristic of pride, to be unteachable. If you know it all, it's hard to learn anything. But if you realize that you don't know it all, and you realize that there's so much you need to know, then you become very teachable, and that's humility. Transformational, in meaning that it takes you, transforms you from the inside out, not connected to your outward circumstances, but who you are in Christ. And then teachable, you don't know it all, you are willing to be taught. And then lastly, what it says, number three, it says, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. You see, somebody who is humble trusts in others, trusts in God. It is God's doing. We trust in him. We don't focus on ourselves. We don't have to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We don't have to say, I have it all within me, deep down within me, I have the strength to make it. We trust in God to take us beyond who we are. It was Jesus that lived this out. He's the one who gave this example. And I think it's one of the most vivid examples of what humility is all about, and how there is strength in humility. Some people say that humility is a weakness to be humble. It is not a weakness, it's a strength. And according to the scripture, it is strength that it's where strength comes from. And I want to take you to the upper room at the end of Jesus' ministry in John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, I think it's the most incredible picture of the humility of Jesus Christ. He was humble, but you can find out that he was very powerful as well. So in chapter 13, he's in the upper room. He's just gathered there with his disciples. He is 24 hours away from being beaten and hung on a cross. And as he is in this time with his disciples, this is what it says in John chapter 13, verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And you know what happened? He went around the room and he washed the feet of the disciples. One of the most humbling things that anybody could do. It was a servant's chore, but he did it. Now, did you hear the words that were said right before he did that? He knew that the Father had put all things under his power. And he knew that he had come from God, and he knew he was returning from God. He had all these things. You would think that with that kind of a preface to what was about to happen, that he would stand up and say, "This is the law of the Lord," but he didn't. He got up, took a towel, and he washed their feet. You see, when you are secure in who you are, when you know who you are, you know whose you are, you know who God is, then with that confidence, you can serve and you can be humble. Jesus set the example. He humbled himself. It says in Philippians chapter 2 that he humbled himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, not regarding equality with God, something to be grasped, but he became obedient even to the point of death, humbling ourselves before God. So, the wise attitude then is humility. Obviously, the foundation of a bad attitude is pride. So what can we do? What can we do? It's very simple. I think Jesus sets the example, and within this scripture in Proverbs, it is set the stage for us to do these things. What can we do? Number one, we can remember who we are. Remember who you are in Christ. He's the Creator. He's the Lord. He's the Father. He's the Creator. You're the creation. He's the Lord. You're the servant. He's the Father. You're the child. If you remember who you are, then you can keep yourself from that first step of pride, which says, "I'm my own God. I have my own rights. I am my own creator." No, you remember who you are. He's the creator, and you're not. Number two, when you're wrong, repent. Repent. You can't do it. When you're wrong, you have to be able to say, "I'm wrong. I messed up." Remember the old saying that said, "Love means never having to say you're sorry." We all know that that was crazy, that that's crazy talk, because love, if it means always having to say you're sorry, that you're constantly saying you're sorry, because you are humbling yourself and admitting when you do wrong and being able to admit it and ask forgiveness. You can't do it without God. God is the one who gives you everything. You would just mess things up. "God, I would mess things up if it wasn't for you," and repent and get yourself right with the Lord. Another thing is that we need to, number three, read the Word. We need a steady diet of God's Word going into our minds and into our hearts, because God's Word is how we can find out what God thinks and how God sees this world, what God is like. It reminds us not only who we are, but it reminds us of who God is, and it reminds us of our purpose in God's plan. A steady diet of God's Word can help us to become more, to have that better attitude in the world around us. And then lastly, number four, is receive forgiveness and give forgiveness. In other words, a lot of people can say, I repent, or I did wrong, but they have a hard time receiving the forgiveness themselves. And then after they receive it, do they give it? We need to be a forgiving people. Jesus said many times that his forgiveness to us was based on how we forgive other people. That his forgiveness of our sins should compel us to go and forgive those who have wronged us. Is that crazy? Oh, it's crazy in this world. But I want to remind you that you're going sane in a crazy world. It's crazy not to give forgiveness when you've been forgiven so much. It's crazy not to connect yourself with God when He is your Creator and your Lord. It's crazy when you don't admit that you're wrong, when you make mistakes, but in pride you hang on to it and you won't ever say, I was wrong. That's what's crazy. To not do those things, to do those things, is going sane in a crazy world. So what are the results? Simple as this. The results, it says that if you do those things, it says in Proverbs, right there in Proverbs 16, it says that you will find prosperity. You will find good. Now, when it talks about prosperity in the Bible, it's not prosperity as in money. It's not the kind of prosperity that makes your bank account go up. It's not the kind of prosperity that makes you upgrade what you're driving or where you live. But it's eternal riches. It's better than money. It's something beyond you. It's kingdom investment. You prosper when you humble yourself before the Lord, when you adopt His attitude towards this world, which is thinking of others before you think of yourself, which is humbling yourself before Him. You will prosper. You will find good. That is important. It's not always the way you think it'll come, but it'll be good eternally. The second result, what are the results? Prosperity and then blessing. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. What does it mean to be blessed by God? It means that you experience God's pleasure. God's pleasure. It's God saying, well done. It's God saying, this is good. I'm pleased with this. That is what wisdom, that is how wisdom starts. It starts with us wanting to please the Lord. It starts with us wanting to make God not only happy, but to experience God's pleasure. God's presence with us. God loving us. And it says that God looks around for people who humble themselves before Him, that He might empower them to do His work, be His hands and feet in this world around us. It is through that attitude that it all begins. That's where wisdom begins. Before anything that we start doing, before reaching out, before adjusting our priorities, before all those things, we must first be able to see ourselves the way God sees us, to be able to know who we are, to be able to know who God is, and to be able to know how we fit into that plan and His relationship. You want to go sane in a crazy world? Humble yourself. Instead of focusing on yourself and your own pride, humble yourself before the Lord and see things the way He sees it. And that attitude will begin to change everything that you do. Let's pray.